This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world, the station of the stars.
Have mercy, Mr. Attitude, Eric Wiltshire.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Rat, where it seems that we're being a bit grumpy this week, but all in a good, a bit grumpy, but all in a good cause. Lee's going to rant now.
I'm not going to rant.
He is, Rach. I promise you.
I'm not going to rant. I have two stories to tell about this that are perfectly true.
He will rant on, but, and he will say how wonderful the sun is for doing this. But I will prove a point in a minute that I can be better than the newspaper. Anyway. As you know, there are some islands down in South America, 400 miles away from Argentina, who seem to think they should have control of them. And I'll tell
can
you what...
Can I interrupt a second?
What?
400 miles away from Argentina.
Yeah.
How far away from Britain?
I don't know. Don't care.
12,000.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all. I'm just being fair to the ladies and gentlemen and explaining the fact.
Oh, I see. Well, I was just going to explain a fact as well, because this year, of course, it's the presidential elections in Argentina.
It is?
It is.
So nice Mrs. What's it standing, isn't she?
Well, Mrs. Thingy Kirchner.
Christina Fernandez de Kirchner.
Yeah. Is that German?
Oh, she's had a bit of everything. She's had a bit of everything in there, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's a mongrel.
Yes, absolutely.
You can't call the president of a country a dog.
You can.
She's not the president yet.
Well, so anyway, no, she's the president at the minute.
Oh, she might not
be. You silly Billy.
Yes. Anyway, she publishes this open letter to everybody in their auntie, because she's after winning votes.
Because she couldn't afford an envelope.
Well, that's true. Saying that she wants the the Falklands back, not what you call them, lady. And the Sun newspaper, in its infinite wisdom, decides to take a whole page advert in the English paper in Buenos Aires, the Buenos Aires Herald, which has a circulation of around 20,000.
Which is a readership of 60,000, which in a small country such as Argentina isn't a bad thing.
Anyway,
so the Sun paid £425 to put an advert in a small Argentinian paper, which circulates in a small country on the edge of nowhere, to do a little bit of good for the people. These islanders and Mr. Eric is disparaging them.
No, I'm not. No. What they did was fine. I'm not disparaging them at all. What they did was fine. And I love the fact that they put on the end of it, the advert ends with, until the people of the Falkland Islands choose to become Argentinian, they remain resolutely British. And
absolutely.
That's absolutely the right thing. They 100%. They are the people that should decide, Mrs. Argentina. So don't cry for me, Mrs. Argentina.
Oh, I was just going to do that.
I was wondering which one of you would get it.
So I thought to myself, no, if you check this out, if you check this out, before the Sun came out with the idea, a young Mr. Wiltshire...
Oh, here we go.
Published on
this
the...
you were there, an air fighter pilot?
No. Before the Sun came out with the idea, so I wonder where they got it from. Before they came out with the idea, on the Argentina's Facebook page, which has 1.5 million readers.
Right.
1.5, not 220,000 or whatever, 20,000, whatever. I published the following. An open FB message to the Lady Prez of Argentina. You can tell I'm a Londoner. The Falkland people will decide who will govern them. Not a lady trying to score political points on the global stage. Open CC to the UN. P.S. The only hand of God that will work in the referendum will be the one that's just. Not the cheating one that nicked from the World Cup thing from us.
Excuse me, you can't say God's got a cheating hand.
Well, the hand of God is what Maradona called the goal that he scored with his hand when he put England out of the cup.
Yeah, there was another little bit of a
so
naughty boy.
So as a result of little comments by yours truly, Mark Walsh wrote this letter, which I think is wonderful. Dear Argentina, I'd like to visit your country, but instead I'm going to visit the Falklands. Oh, just in case you didn't realise, they are small islands 400 miles off the east of your coast. The islands are British and will always stay that way. It must be very embarrassing and humiliating to your nation to have been defeated so convincingly 30 years ago. But it's time to get over it. Maybe your politicians should put the same energy into running your country and reducing the third world conditions and poverty that exist within. How true.
Hooray.
Mark. How
I
true,
think
Mark.
What he's saying is right, yeah.
Absolutely right. So there's no beginning with M for the Falklands Islands. They begin with the letter F. So everybody, and I do have to apologise at this point to the lovely people from Argentina that I know listen to this programme, because you do, and I thank you for that. And this isn't directed at you, I promise you. It is not directed at the real people. It's directed at people that are trying to score political points because they want to be in office. And I hope you lot just say, sod off. Let's get on with the real things, like the education, like the finance, like the infrastructure, like the roads, and stop blathering on about something you have no control over.
And dear
and they don't
Christina,
really care about.
I think some do, Rachel, because the trouble with the Falklands, historically, they have got the most enormous wealth, mineral rights.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah.
And so Argentina would like to get their grubby little mitts on those, but they can't have them because they can go.
And we have to remember that Argentina, despite its all its stuff that I can't remember, its corned beef and stuff like that, it has no money.
True. As somebody put on my Facebook page last night, as a show of solidarity, I've just burnt a tin of corned beef.
How did he get the cows to grow to that shape?
I don't know, it was really weird, that, isn't it? Really weird.
Can I just tell you something about Argentina?
Well, you're going to, whether I stop you or not. I could fade you down.
I'm just polite. Bloody hell. I've been blinking heck, Rachel.
Bleep!
I know,
bleep me. I said the bloody word.
Get on with
so
it.
I'm so sorry.
Get on. Just because Mark's not here, you don't have to take over his mantle.
You don't look at the fire when you're poking that. And so,
yes.
Right, this is where I'm up to, right? The sun, the reason, ladies and gentlemen, you will notice that Eric backed down on his heinous attempt to attack the sun over carrying out of placing this ad.
Mm.
And I should point out that the reason the sun did this is that despite the fact that they were 100% behind Margaret Thatcher in 1982,
they
went 100% in the most gung-ho way to protect the Falkland Islands. And they were hilarious about it. As much as it was a serious thing, and when things like the awful sinking of the Belgrano happened and stuff like that, they really went for it. But they attacked Argentina in brilliant forms. Like
They did. I've got to agree.
Do you know the main headline? We're stick it up your junta.
Yeah.
The only thing is, and not many people know this, and nobody caught on, because junta at the time was a word that people didn't really understand. It had only come out because of the Falklands War story. And they actually spelt junta wrong on the front page, and nobody corrected it. They actually spelt it as J-U-N-I-T-A. Junita.
Junita.
Stick it up your junita.
What, anyway,
tell you a quick personal story.
Well, I was going to say, just before I forget, I do wish the Falklanders all the best for their upcoming referendum, which is being held this year. And I would just have a little plea to the councils out there. Why don't you hold your referendum 2 weeks before the elections in Argentina? That would be good.
That's a very good idea.
Yeah, just 2 weeks before, guys. So it's got time to get 400 miles across the sea, so that just at the time they're all going, we're going to get the Malvinas back for you, the Falklanders say, no. Remember, Falklands spelt with F, not with M, and we don't want you. Thank you very much. Good night.
Absolutely. And Junita is not spelt with an I.
We're not going
to
get...
I'll tell you this really quick, right, because this is what happened to me, and it's all to do with marriage. right?
What's that got to do with the Malvinas and Falklands? And...
What's he talking about, Rachel? Is he chatting you up while I'm ranting?
Yes.
Right. In 1982,
yes, that's exactly
right?
What's happening.
Let's just hope her boyfriend's asleep.
I had a
get it into gear. Tongue in gear. Engage brain.
I was having a fly around the room. Right. That baby go, wah, 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 wah.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Right.
So, I was just building a career, a burgeoning career as a war reporter, because we got Northern Ireland and all sorts of things.
It's all right, Rachel. You've been practising at home first.
What? Yeah. Well, actually, that ties in perfectly. So I was spending ages away from home because I was out in war zones and stuff like that. And my first ex-wife, who shall remain nameless, right, was getting a bit fed up with it because
I can't remember her name.
That's right.
No, exactly. But I just was never at home. Anyway, I got the call from the Home Office saying, do you want to go across to the Falklands, right at the beginning of the war, as the war was taking off? And the situation was that what you had to do was, I think it was Bryce Norton you had to get to. You had to get down to Bryce Norton.
Correct.
And you were all flown out on one of these big army jet things where you all sit with ropes on and stuff like that. And I thought, gee, this is brilliant. This is the launch of my career. I am actually now going to go from Northern Ireland to the war in the Falklands. And at that time, that was a big deal. And you know what my ex-wife did?
I do.
She hid my passport.
That woman!
That woman hid my passport and ruined my life as a war correspondent because I never got there.
Oh, that's why you're having to do radio with me now.
That's why I'm doing radio. That's why I became a travel correspondent and all sorts. I'm doing road reports. And now if you go down to the A500, it's no.
I was going to say, it's not international travel, is it?
So, but, darling, I still love you all these years down the road when you ruined my career.
And I did post a little message on the Falklands site as well yesterday. I do wish you all the best, guys, and thank you very much for the comments. And I'm very proud that some of you remember the programmes when I used to pollute your airwaves down there in the Falkland Islands, but that's another story.
We still go out there, don't we?
I'm not sure, but what happened years ago was the BBC World Service, you see, they run lots of the Falklands, all the transmitters and things. And when we did Merlin Network 1, the commercial, no, it was technical director, he called me, he said, Eric, I've got an idea. I said, what do you want? He said, well, we've got a big FM transmitter in the Falklands doing nothing. I said, right. He said, we should stick at Merlin Network 1 on, that'd be good. So I said, well, yeah, if you like. And so we became the national radio station down there. And the poor people had me. So anyway, I apologise for that. But moving along, something that there isn't the same problems with down in the Falklands. Drivers taking deadly risks on the road, which I think sort of ties up all around the world as it goes. And I have to admit, I've been one of them.
Yes.
Because nobody ever talks about this until it's too late. And I think the reason I chose the story is to highlight it now rather than it becoming too late, because we've seen the stories and we've covered them before on here where young people have been texting, a young girl in America just went through everything, pylons a lot, and was dead just by texting on her phone because she lost control. And the trouble is that professional drivers, you know, salespeople, delivery people, not the truckers all the time, it's the other people that are professional drivers, get put under pressure. And some research has just come out from Brake, which is one of the campaigning groups in the UK, and Direct Line, which is one of the big insurance groups. Apparently nearly 31% of professional drivers, while they are at the wheel, are texting people.
That's crazy, really.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. No.
Well, I suppose
it's
actually.
It's so dangerous.
Yeah.
It's not the danger. I couldn't do it.
Dangerous. Yeah.
I can't do it. I've got to turn the radio down when I'm looking for an address. That's how distracted I get.
Well, no, but I'm a bloke, so that means I can only do one thing at a time. So that ruins the whole thing. And apparently, 1 in 6 have admitted to grooming, Rachel. Putting on your makeup when you're driving.
And shaving, Rachel.
I'm a might shove it. I might. Yeah. I have trouble with that because I can't hold the little brush and the razor at the same time.
I don't often lose it, but I'm losing it.
Oh, it's good, Rachel. Keep it coming like this, Rachel. We'll soon get rid of it.
Actually, I did sustain a workplace injury in a car once, a long time ago when I was in sales. Yes. No, I was actually applying mascara at the traffic lights and I got hit up the rear end, as it were, and stabbed the mascara right in my eyeball. It was...
Serves you right. Serves you right.
Yes, and I never did it again.
No, funny that. And that's my exact point. Thank you, Rachel. After the accident, we don't do it. We should be thinking about it before we have the accident.
That's right.
Absolutely. And this is something that's very prominent when you get to the employer's side of it, because I've been a sales guy out there on the road. You're pushing it hard, and I've written off cars because I've been so shot to bits that I still keep going, because you're just thinking of the targets and everything being organised. And unfortunately, I'm not proud of it now because I don't speed. In fact, I'm like a smoker that doesn't smoke. Where I'll stick to the speed limit rather than trying to, you know, think too hard. And people answering the phone, I almost grimace at that, because I've always had hands-free phones. Mm. And I can't understand why. They're so cheap. So cheap.
They are cheap, and it takes nothing to answer them too. And nowadays it takes even less, because you've usually got some sort of function in your steering wheel that answers it.
Exactly. Right. You know,
my Bentley turns into a phone as soon as you step into the car with your mobile phone in your pocket. Yeah, the whole car becomes a phone, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
Like Doctor Who.
He's a bit like Doctor Who. You're right.
I am a bit like Doctor Who. I can change time and things. But I've also now, do you know one of the old handset things?
Yeah, yeah.
I've got one of those, which is now attached to my mobile phone. Have you?
Yeah.
I got you, Rachel. I got it for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So you can't drive when you're talking on it, Rachel.
Why?
No, you can't.
Because policemen will stop you.
Oh, I see. Anyway, all I'm saying, boys and girls, is think about what you're doing. You are actually in charge of a loaded gun when you're driving. It's a fact.
Only if you're in America.
Well, that's true. Did you see that thing from the National Gun Club?
Well, man, I tell you, honestly, I have such a rant about that.
If you didn't see it, Rachel, they have a solution to gun crime in schools. Issue guns to the teachers.
To teachers, yeah, that's disgusting. Are they going to dress all the little kiddies in Kevlar too? What's next?
Oh, for goodness sake. Anyway, we're going to move on to something fun. Page 5, boys and girls, at the bottom, or page 4. Australia ghost gum tree in Alice Springs. Arson attack. Rach, what happened?
Oh, my God. Wow. This is horrendous. In the middle of Australia, there's a place called Alice Springs, which is underneath the Northern Territory.
Right.
And that's where our famous big Uluru / Ayers Rock is as well.
The red thing.
There's these two, yeah, there's these two ghost gum trees that an
Why
artist
are
called,
gum trees?
Don't they only come out at night?
They're from yesteryear. They hold the ghosts of all the indigenous ancestors.
Oh, I see. That's, so they're literally sort they're, of... Yeah, right, I understand.
They're like a religious...
I understand now. Sorry.
Okay.
I was only trying to make it clear.
That's all right, love. It's a beautiful site. I've actually been there, and it's gorgeous. And it's the subject of this really famous Australian painting. And some... dude has set fire to them.
No.
And it's a landmark. It was about to be heritage listed, this site.
Yeah.
And some idiot has set fire to these trees, and they've just done all this work to clean it up and so it won't be hit by grass fire, because we're in temperatures that we've never seen before.
Mm,
and the place is, half the place is on fire, and grass fires are just terrible. So they cleared away everything from the site, they irrigated it, and now some plonker has gone and set fire to it. It's disgusting.
Are they completely and utterly destroyed?
They haven't said exactly if I haven't read anything to say that they're completely destroyed, but I would say so, given the temperature at the moment, particularly in that part of the country, and the fact that there's no water there at all.
So I would say that
they're stuffed. Yeah, it's an arson attack, and the police are investigating.
Absolutely,
that's ridiculous.
I think this is just as appalling as everybody else. I'm not trying to make a joke out of it in any way. But actually, do you know what the where Upper Gumtree comes from? I genuinely don't know. I'm just wondering that old place, Upper Gumtree.
There was a song an old song that had that lyric in it. It was Banjo Patterson wrote the lyrics to a song, and there was a da-da-da-da-da up a gum tree. And that's how. And I think that's how they coined that.
Right. Thank you for that. That's very good information.
But I'll double-check it.
Education on RTI, blimey.
Absolutely. And if you could just check that, Rachel, yes, and come back next week and report to us. Yeah. We'll give you a gold star.
And I'll tell you what, Rachel, if you don't mind, I would love to know if these trees can be rescued.
I'll find out.
Yeah, would you? Yeah. That would be really cool, because I think that would be the ultimate way of telling these
trees.
Yeah, well, but I think it'd be the ultimate sort of way of winning over these idiots by sort of a little bit of irrigation, a little bit of nurturing. Because I know that when we had the horrendous forest fires here, we had 200 hectares go up. The trees have got this amazing way of coming back to life, even through shoots and starting all over again.
They do. The rejuvenation power of particularly these trees, because they're eucalyptus, is quite incredible. And even if the outside gets destroyed, quite often right in the, you know, in the core of it and even down to the roots, there's some sign of life there.
Oh, brilliant. That would be lovely. This is a wonderful story, but equally kind of funny and equally kind of... good progress after the UK's first hand transplant. The guy was actually on the TV news this morning, Mike Cahill?
Cahill,
51 years old. He's a pub landlord, and he lost the use of his right hand after it was affected by gout.
Holy moly.
Oh, yeah. But anyway.
It's bad, isn't it? Gout.
Oh, yeah. After an 8-hour operation in Leeds General Infirmary, a new hand has been grafted on from where your sort of lower wrist, just above your wrist bone is, and down. And this.
Eric, may I say that it would have to be below your wrist bone if it was a replacement, and otherwise it'd be a replacement arm!
Well, no, because it could be from the elbow.
Yeah, well, that'd be the lower part of your arm, really. That'd be your fibula.
Yes. Well, anyway, poor old Mr. Cahill, he got this gout about 20 years ago, and 5 years ago it went into his right hand, leaving him unable to open his fingers or use his hand for anything, which is very bad, especially if he's a pub landlord.
Absolutely.
But there he is. One option would have been for him to have a bionic hand, but he volunteered for this pioneering surgery, which I have to say makes him a very, very, very brave person.
Because, very brave.
Because if this operation fails, he loses the hand completely. He's not nice.
He's a gambling man.
I reckon he must be. But it does bring you the other side of that.
Let's hope he's got a good hand then.
And I'm going to have to go to Lee's knowledge here. Because what was that film where the bloke had a hand transplant and it tried to strangle him?
Oh, Dr. Thing, yeah, where the hand tried to strangle him. The old head had been made millions of times. I genuinely can't remember. It was the something of Dr. such and such.
Yes.
I can't remember. But can I reciprocate for my loss there by telling you a true story about transplant, which is true and quite harrowing.
Quick.
A friend of mine who was a cabinet maker actually, using a bandsaw, sawed off his thumb. And this was in my barn down here when they were using it for temporarily.
Yeah.
And he was working with his son, and his thumb flew off into the air like that. And he turned around and, just involuntary, in shock, shouted the name of his son. He shouted, Carl, because that was his son's name. Carl looked at his dad. Carl was about 17 then. Looked at his dad, saw this blood spurting, ran towards his dad, and unfortunately, in his big working boots, stood on his dad's thumb and squashed it.
Oh, no.
So, right, this isn't funny. This is a true story.
I'm very sorry.
So, they couldn't save, they couldn't, like, remould it into the shape of a thumb.
Right.
So, my mate now has a dead man's big toe as a thumb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
do
that.
The problem is, as he says, so-and-so never washed his feet. 20 years on, it still stinks.
Well, as we're going to do all these, we might as well do the other gory one because you've seen it, Lee. I'm very lucky that, oh, God, 20 or, well, more than that years ago, I was trying to save a few quid by changing a pane of glass that was broken in the house.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it was very cold and my hand slipped.
No.
What do you think got chopped off, Rachel?
My middle finger. No. My middle finger.
Ooh. Oh, that's the most used one.
Exactly. You can't pick your nose otherwise.
For commenting on things, yeah.
and I wish I could remember the hospital in North London.
Why, have they still got your finger?
No, they were the people that stuck it all back together and put a new knuckle joint in. And as you people don't realise, but I can't actually make a proper fist because it doesn't go quite that far. But they actually saved my...
you can't make a proper fist, Rachel, because he's a big girl in half.
But I've got a bionic finger, thanks to those Mount Vernon Hospital in London. Thank you, guys.
No, he has got a... Ooh, it's a funny finger, that.
It is funny, isn't it, Lee? We've got one more story to squeeze in. It's got to be this one. It's just got
Which
to be.
One?
There's some new research out from a study that took place in the University of Oxford, which suggests cannabis can make patients less bothered by pain.
Well,
yeah,
what
still
a
in pain. They're still in pain. They just don't care.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. What a wonderful bit of research. All you had to do was smoke a joint in the 60s and the 70s, and you'd have known that.
Yeah, but what I want to know is, how did you get to be a volunteer? I never heard a word about it.
No, I tell you, you could be a volunteer for everything. They used to have volunteers in for that naughty drug, which you must never try at home, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly.
Acid and stuff like that.
Yes.
You used to go and try. Whoa, what a way to make a living. And then you could pay for it.
Yeah. But apparently, the volunteers had the cream rubbed into the legs on one side to induce pain.
I've just said sperm donate.
Thank you very much. But it does make you wonder, doesn't it? If.
It does.
But anyway, one of the doctors added, cannabis does not seem to act like a conventional pain medicine. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know.
No.
Some people respond very well, others not at all, or even poorly. Doc,
spend the next 5 hours giggling your head off. Yeah,
Doc, it depends on which version you get, mate. No, I mustn't go there. apparently, the study was funded by the UK Medical Research Council.
What a wonderful place they are. Right? All doors get stoned. Everybody must get stoned.
I wonder if they supply bags and bags and bags of, you know, Doritos?
I don't know.
When people were doing this study.
But we finish with this note. Don't bogart that joint, my friends. Pass it over to me. See you next week. Bye-bye.
This is RTI, from the heart of Europe to the world. The Station of the Stars.